Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of 80s Horror Films. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with my co-host with the mostest, Rebecca Reinhart. How you doing, Rebecca?
I am great. I am not resurrecting any mythological creatures from pumpkin patches, though.
That's a good idea. And we'll find out why in a second. But before then, we'll talk about our most special guest, who's actually, we realize this is a crossover episode. please welcome Madeline Deering. How are you doing, Madeline?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Madeline's been sort of like a fixture in indie film cafe stuff now. Like, you've been on almost every show, I think, except you haven't been on IFC itself yet. And we'll have to get you on there soon.
But, oh, definitely.
And Maddie and I do a little podcast called SOBs Who Love SOB. So it's like a three-way crossover.
Yes.
Insane.
Yes.
Crossover.
The shallow gene pool of podcasting.
And we love
it. You're the one who got me into podcasting and all that stuff, or I never would have started any of this. So
awesome.
There you go, Rebecca. you're the trendsetter right there. You got her into it.
Woohoo.
So we are talking about Pumpkinhead, which I'm guessing this is how I got Rebecca back, because I was like, let's do an 80s horror film. She was like, oh, okay. And that's the Pumpkinhead. And her, like, I could tell, like, her like your eyes lit up, even though I didn't see it. I'm sure she got really excited. And then Madeline, when I asked her, she said she got really excited because you just watched this like recently before too, right? Like this wasn't like, you know,
it had been a bit for me, but I usually try to watch it around Halloween season. It's one of my annual watches.
Yeah.
But it had been a while.
And it's been a way long time. It's been since I was a kid since I watched it.
I was going to say it's on, I think it just came on Tubi because I watched it like a week before you said anything to us. I was like, oh, I just watched that, you know? So
did
good
you,
timing.
You didn't watch it to review it before, or did you?
No. I was just, you know, like, I'll just watch a movie I've seen a million times. And it's like, oh, great, Pumpkinhead's on Tubi, you know? And then like a few days later, you asked me to do the show and I was like, perfect.
Okay, that's why you got excited, because you know this is easy for you.
I love the movie, but yeah, I didn't have to watch a movie for the podcast, so yeah, that's part of why I got excited.
is this on like a really good Blu-ray somewhere?
Screen Factory put it out. I'd like to pick it up, but I have like an old DVD of it.
The Tubi version like felt like an 80s VHS tape, you know, thing, you know. It wasn't the transfer. I mean even though it did look beautiful, but I think that's just how it is anyway. It looks beautiful, period, you know. It's a beautifully shot film, you know. But let's talk about, first of all, I want to talk about how this is Stan Winston's first directorial debut. And then I just realized today he made a movie. I've never seen the movie, but a movie after this called a gnome named Norm.
Yes.
Or something like that.
I've never seen it.
It's on Tubi. I got to watch it. I really want to watch it. So yeah. I'm excited. Like, I don't know. It was like a gnome that works for the police. That just sounds like only Stan Winston would be able to make.
I don't know how I've never heard of it.
I didn't either until I saw that, because I was doing research. So I was looking up what Stan Winston else had directed, and that was it, other than some like music videos, you know, or something in a short. So I was like, all right, well, there you go. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but
he left us with a gnome named Norm.
Rebecca, have you seen it? Have you seen it?
Please, I haven't, but no, I've heard that title. And then when I was looking up trivia today, I was like, a gnome named Norm, a Stan Winston, okay.
And Norm spelled with a G-N, like Norm.
Well, of course.
You know, you're not going to name a Norm, a gnome, Norm, whatever.
It's, yeah, you got to have the right alliteration there.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister right there. But it was, so anyway, let's go into Pumpkinhead. And basically, like, when was the first time you guys had seen it or heard about it? I guess let's start with Madeline. Like, when was the first time you had seen it or heard of it?
I think I saw it on Sci-Fi Channel, or I saw a lot of the movies that I grew up with.
Right.
I know when I watched it, I remember watching it with my mom, and she cried when the little boy died. That's my memory, though. That's a memory of the movie, and I mean, I've been a fan of it ever since, but I know I watched it on Sci-Fi Channel, one of those, and had it recorded on VHS, you know, recorded it off TV. So I think that was first time I heard of it. Just kind of always was looking for whatever horror movies was coming on TV.
All right, well, what about you, Rebecca?
This was one that this came out closely, probably a little before my video store days. And I do remember I didn't rent from the video store that I worked at. I took it from the video store because I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. This looks awesome. Pumpkinhead, you know, the cover. So, I mean, it looks just like so crazy. And like, and I remember watching it going, this is just fucking sad. I thought this monster is going to be tearing people limb for limb, like the entire thing or something. And I'm like, what the hell am I watching? But I love it. I think this is one of those movies that I think that had it had a different name, it probably would have done better at the time. It's obviously now a cult classic, but just the way it was presented and marketed, it did look very much like they were going for creature feature with no substance.
Right. And you know what? It's funny because I guess the first time I'd seen it I saw it at the video store. You know, I would go to this video store called Movie Scene that I used to work at. But before then, I would go in and I would glance at the horror section, but I was too afraid to actually rent any of the movies in the horror section, like, which sounds funny to a guy that does 80s horror films, you know, or whatever. But I got into them more, you know, more or less when, later in life. But Pumpkinhead, I mean, I'd always, like, when I was a kid, I always imagined that it was a kind of like a Sleepy Hollow story or something, you know, a guy with a pumpkin on his head or whatever. And then you watch the movie and it's nothing like that at all. And in fact, it's just a revenge story, you know? It does get serious and it does get sad. Like, I was rewatching it cause I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. Cause I saw it on TV. Like it would show it on, I don't know if it was Sci-Fi for when I was growing up, it might've been USA.
I was going to say USA is the other channel I watched a lot of movies on.
Yeah, because USA used to show a lot. I mean, other than Up All Night and all the other stuff that they did, they would show a lot of horror films during the day, you know, or whatever. And I think Pumpkinhead was one of them, if I'm correct. But I remember more Pumpkinhead 2, which was a 90s movie, so we can't talk about that here. I remember that one a little bit more or a little bit better. But anyway, to go into it, like you guys were saying, it's sad. It is it's a fucking terribly sad movie. The kid dies, which you never see in a film unless it's a Stephen King film, which this sort of reminded me of a little bit, you know. You know, the kid dies. I thought the dog was going to die. That was what I was worried about.
Yeah. First. Did you read in the trivia who the dog is?
Yes, yes. Did you?
The dog is Barney from Gremlins as well. Mushroom is his name. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-mm, I didn't until today.
That's amazing.
I think it would have been cool if they had kept the name. Like, it's always so weird when they call the name of the dog something other than what the dog's actual name is for real. You know, I guess the dog has to get used to being, you know, Gypsy or whatever.
He's
a
professional.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever.
Hey, I just looked up stuff about Benji because I was interested in like knowing about more about dog training, and Benji was such a freaking amazing dog. You know, for how many movies that dog's been in. And there's two or three Benjis.
There were a few of them, and it was a mutt, so it was amazing that they could find dogs that looked the same.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
But one of the things in the trivia of IMDb is that Mushroom did his own stunts for this and for Gremlins.
That's crazy.
So I guess they do hire stunt dogs, stunt doubles for dogs. That's stunt the dog. Impression I would get from that.
I would wonder, because what was the stunt necessarily other than running in this one?
Yeah.
Because when I was watching it, I was going, this dog, because I saw that too, right? Like I saw that in the trivia and I go, wait, did he he ran, like there wasn't like.
Ran fast.
He did run fast to catch up with the, and he didn't get hit by the, motorcycles. So there you go. Yeah.
That could be it.
I don't know. Maybe that was a stunt. I don't know. But I was trying to think there was anything else that he did, but I don't think he did do anything.
Yeah, he really wasn't a huge part of it.
No, but that's like, once again, that scared me because the dogs are the ones who usually die in these things, you know, instead of the kids. So I was expecting a kid to live and, you know, the dog to die.
I wasn't. So in watching it this time, so my kid and I, when we watch things, we Mystery Science Theater 3000 the hell out of everything, you know, so it's just constant commentary. And this time we were watching the beginning of it where it's like just the son and the dad and they're just so painfully adorable and they have this great relationship. And we were like, well, I don't think nothing bad's going to happen in this movie. they couldn't have made it more obvious that they were going to make this huge tragedy happen to these two people.
Yep. Because it was like, everything was so sweet. Oh, I'm going to read you, I'm going to tell you, I guess it was a bedtime story, but it was during the day. You know,
a daytime story.
It was a daytime story. and then it was like, you know, and the sun made him something, you know, and it was so cheesy in 80s. I loved it.
It was so, it was just like, wow, you're really setting this up, aren't you guys?
So that you're supposed to care for both, you know, characters.
Exactly.
And I mean, did I really care for the kid? I did, because the kid was running after the dog. Like, you know, like he was trying to make sure his dog was okay. That's what I cared about the most, you know? So that's where my mind goes. I don't know why. I think it's because I'm so used to like horror films where the people just get slaughtered left and right. And you're not supposed to, like, I'm desensitized to that. But like when it comes to animals, you know, like, Fear is one of my least favorite movies to like watch because of a certain scene. I don't know if you guys, you've seen that movie, right? Fear with Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a scene with a dog, and I don't need to go into it, but if you've seen it, you know how graphic and disgusting it is. Needful Things has a really bad one too.
I haven't seen that movie in so many years. So
Needful Things.
Yeah, I know I have the VHS, but it's been a long time. I just don't remember whatever scene that is.
So I thought something bad would happen to the dog.
John, do you know there's a website for this, right?
No.
DoesTheDogDie.com.
Is that a real thing?
It's a huge database. Yes, it's a huge database of TV shows, movies, and they basically warn you if there's, like, if an animal, it's really, it used to just be dogs, but now it's just animals. If an animal dies on screen, if an animal dies off screen, if it's implied that an animal died,
that's okay. Like, see, that doesn't bother me.
Friday 13th Part 2, or that it's safe to watch no animals die.
Okay.
DoesTheDogDie.com.
If I see the dog die, it freaks me out. But if I, like, or whatever, it makes me sad or angry or whatever, you know, brings an emotion to me. If I hear about a dog dying, I mean, for some reason, I'm not as affected by it, I guess, you know, or whatever. However, there's only been like one dog in the history of all dogs that I was like, I hope that dog dies. And that was Cujo.
Cujo.
You say that, but like, I would have thought that like Man's Best Friend would have done the same thing to me, because I rewatched that recently and I thought, oh man, so am I going to have the same feelings? You know, no, because I love that dog in Man's Best Friend. Like, I felt bad.
Cujo, you just want him to die to put him out of his misery.
Right, right. Yeah. And he's in his misery. Like, he's obviously trying to attack those people because he's got rabies, you know? Like, I'm sorry, if any of my dogs got rabies and was trying to kill people, I would feel terrible, but I would rather do the same thing too. So I totally get it. But if it's like Man's Best Friend, which, have you guys seen that movie?
Not in so many years.
Not in a very long time.
And the dog was made in a lab, you know?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. It was sort of like already you feel bad for it because
right.
It wasn't
a sympathy factor.
Yeah, it's a sympathy factor. Cujo, you had no sympathy because Cujo was just a dog you meet like once before he gets rabies, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't really get to develop a relationship with him. Once again, Stephen King.
Someone said online they were watching a movie that we reviewed on this podcast, The Boogans.
Nice.
And I said, oh, the only movie where I actually was glad when the dog died. Because the dog in that movie is just an asshole the whole damn time. So when he gets like sucked into like the heating grate, it's like, good.
I think
little dog.
I've never seen The Boogans or whatever.
Oh, Maddie, it's so good.
It is. But I think that was a thing that we got into on the podcast.
Yeah.
That I didn't want the dog to die. Like, I still care for the dog. Like,
I hated that dog.
Dogs can be assholes as long as they're not like in pain or something. Yeah. Then yeah. You know. Then I don't ever want a dog to die. Like, period. I, you know, if dog, I would want dogs to live longer. You know, in life or whatever. But then I wouldn't have so many awesome dogs. Like, it's a catch-22 thing, like, you know, in my life. So I think they are here for a limited time for a reason, you know?
Of course.
So anyway, we're going to get off the subject of dogs because that's not what this movie's about. But it did have that cute dog, and I did love it.
And shout out to Roxy Balboa.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, just since we're on dogs, I just had to bring her up. So
yes. And she does her own stunts as well, correct?
She did. Yes, right. She did. Her amazing owner, Jennifer Louise, trained her very well.
That was that made me cry a little bit too when that happened. So
I mean, it was like a stuffed animal's head. So
I know, but
but she did everything she could to make it as fake as she could. Okay, John.
I did.
It is hilarious how it's not even doesn't even look like her at all. It's just another stuffed animal. So I love it.
I know. Like, you can definitely tell it's not her, but still.
It was a little. The first time I watched it, I will admit it was a little shocking.
That's what we were going for.
Because, yeah. At first, it is a little shocking because I wasn't expecting it, of all things, to happen, you know, or whatever. But still, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm connected to dogs, like, no matter what, you know. It could be a fake. It could be a dog that looks like a stuffed animal that's, like, getting killed. It connects with me. So moving on. So Lance Henriksen in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you never really see him as the lead in these kind of things.
No, you never see him as, like, the good guy. Definitely not, you know, the sympathetic character.
He was. And even when he decided to do what he decided to do, which is obviously, and spoilers, I guess, I don't know, we've probably been already spoiling the hell out of this movie anyway.
Well,
it is called Pumpkinhead, so there has to be a creature called Pumpkinhead, so... Yeah, it works. We already said the kid died. That's like, you know.
Yeah, that's.
I know. That's why I was like,
Well, yeah, and that was the thing too. Is like that scene. I think that's what I read on IMDb. I don't know if you read the same thing, too, Rebecca. That's what got him to say yes to doing the movie or something.
Oh, I didn't see was, that.
Yeah, he got excited because the kid coming back to life and talking to him. That just gripped him enough to like, hey, all right. I'm down, you know, with this. Cause that was a really good scene.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff, everything, like, what did you do to me, daddy? And then all of a sudden he's kind of like he had no idea that doing that would make him feel the way he felt, you know, or whatever, you know, which is the price you pay for vengeance, I guess, is the, you know, sort of.
This is definitely it's a morality tale. It's kind of a Southern Gothic morality tale, a tale of revenge, revenge gone wrong, and be careful what you wish for, all those types of things. It's kind of like a fairy tale in a way, like a really dark fairy tale.
Definitely.
Which, you know, is interesting because they could have kind of spun that in with the him telling the story to, you know, could have made a fairy tale story that he was telling to his kid, and then sort of it kind of unraveled in real, you know. That's what I would have done had I wrote it, you know. I would have had the him, if he's going to be telling a story to his kid, it sort of be the morality tale that later on he has to, you know, I don't know.
I like the way it was, that it was almost more of a legend that even the locals didn't quite know what the deal was. Like they heard the one guy might have done something to bring Pumpkinhead back, blah blah blah, but it was pretty still hush hush. I like that it's all shrouded in mystery.
So okay, let's talk about the beginning of the film real quick. So it starts out with basically a 1957, I think it said. So 1957, there's a family, a mother, father, and a son. And they're kind of dealing with, they know the creature's coming, I guess, for the guy. So they want to keep the door locked and make sure he doesn't get in so the creature doesn't get in. Because they don't want to, apparently, I guess everybody that knows that legend just doesn't want to be involved is what they say, right? So, yeah. I you know, it's kind of funny. I kind of wish like we had heard more, you know, about what with that guy, you know, from the very beginning, you know, like I would have liked, I know he said he didn't do it, you know, or whatever, which kind of is interesting that later on it was an accident again, you know, they didn't do it on purpose, you know, but like I would have loved to know a little bit more about what, you know, what made Pumpkinhead come out the first time, you know, or the last, you know, that last time.
Yeah. I like the mystery of it. I don't think it's necessary, but that's me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said before, like I like that it's still shrouded in mystery and they don't even clue us in. Like everybody has heard this story, exactly. You know, it's about something that happened, but just don't even go there, people. Like it's so weird that the weird mountain clan doesn't even want to deal with it.
The weird mountain clan. I love those guys, though, by the way. All of them.
I like the weird, seemingly inbred mountain family.
Wasn't Blossom one of them?
What?
Wasn't, it said, she was, the girl who played Blossom, Mayim Balik, was one of the, I think that's how you say her name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was one of the girls in the, in the mountain clan. It said the Wallace... of the Wallace kids or something, you know.
I know that two of them were Stan Winston's kids. No, I don't think the ones that had speaking roles or anything, but they probably just grabbed every fine. They're like, come on, get dirty, let's go.
yeah. And then they got the kid from Silent Night, Deadly Night 5. Well, he's not really a kid. Pino and Society in there. I can't think of his name, Brian something.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, there you go. I don't remember which one was he? Do you remember?
He had a weird name that started. Well, he's like the kid who like tells him where the witch's place is.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of his name. He had a weird name in the movie.
He was a big part too. Like that was
he was the one who was kind of the ally or kind of the guide for the remaining kids.
Exactly. He was the one who kind of like, well, because he knew what happened because he was the one who sent the guy there and everything. Yeah. Which I guess we can all blame him, because if he didn't say anything, you know, where he didn't tell the guy where the witch was, you know, then
Lance Henriksen would have found somebody to show him.
Maybe.
The kid's like the kid in Gremlins who sold them the Mogwai and cost all the profits. Yeah. If you hadn't done that, you wouldn't have the whole movie. Same right, idea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Are you saying he's the glue that holds it all together?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
And but then he like he knew like, oh well, if you know, if that thing's out there, then you know, he already did that. So you're dead. You're good as dead, you know, if this creature is out there. I knew because I hadn't seen it forever, so I didn't really, it's almost like watching it brand new.
Yeah.
But like self-sacrifice has to be the only way, you know, right? Like there was no other way to kill the creature, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's that whole thing of regret. Like clearly he knew he had gone too far. Mm-hmm. You know, by the end, obviously we're skipping around, but I mean, that whole feeling of regret to where, yeah, that was the only way to stop it was to kill him. And, you know, again, tragedy, but.
Yeah.
So. Definitely. It was a tragic piece, you know, like it was a sad movie.
So let's back up a little bit though. So these kids are like kind of college age, maybe they're not really kids, but they're all like going into the like back hills to the one. So the one guy can ride a motorcycle next to a convenience store. I'm really confused. They stop there and then that's that, then it's like, oh, this is the perfect spot. Like you're gonna be out in these foothills for the weekend or whatever, and you decide that it's a good idea just, or it's a good place, like right next to the convenience store to start riding your bike. I didn't get that.
Well, yeah, I agree. And you know what the funniest thing about it is, they didn't just say like, oh, this is a good spot. They literally already like, that was where they were going, you know, right. Because they right. talked about, oh, we're here. And I'm like, wait, you're at a convenience store? Like you're here to get food? Like, what is your, oh no, we're here to ride our motorcycles.
Yeah. Like, well, because we can get a banana from the fruit stand as soon as we're done. That's perfect.
Woo.
I guess. I don't know. It was strange. And then so,
and they seem like a weird mix. Like they do not seem like the two good ones do not seem like they would hang out with the douchebag.
No.
No, not at all. And I honestly, okay. So I forgot that one of them was with the group or whatever. And I saw him and I was like, what is that 40-year-old guy doing behind? Yeah. The 20-year-old? And I was like, that guy looks way too old to be like hanging out with these, you know? And, mm-hmm. And then I realized it was obviously not the same guy that, you know, was with the mountain kids or whatever. So I was like, what in the world is going on? But it was funny. Like, so some of them seemed way older than 20, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't even know if that's the age there. Like there was no like age thing, you know, like it wasn't like, oh, we're a bunch of high school students.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They're just
all friends for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're old enough for the one kid to have already gotten in trouble.
I was just going to say that. That's
what starts it all. They have to hide it because he's gotten in trouble, although he and his girlfriend are the only ones who really give a shit about him.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, and like a lot of us could have, once again, a lot of this could have been like, you know, the trouble could have been saved had they just all stayed and like made exactly. sure the kid was okay. But
well, but to be fair, and this is one thing that I forgot before this watch, is that the kid does not die. The kid is still alive, and the 40-year-old guy stays with him.
Right.
But the girl, the blonde girl, which I don't know any of their names, she gets in her truck because she's going to go to the cabin to call for help. The other two are hightailing it. They don't know it yet. But those two had like all the right intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two did not. Yeah.
So yeah.
But if
so,
they could have gotten to the phone, the kid probably would have lived.
That's true. If they could have gotten the phone and could have gotten the, you know, and but then again, the father did pick him up pretty quickly. So they were, you know, kind of went back and forth between the cabin and the, you know, and the 40-year-old. So it was, and then he says, all he's, you know, he's like, hey, it was an accident. I'm sorry. you know, we didn't mean for this to happen, right? And then the father just glares at him.
I love the look he gives them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so, yeah, haunting.
That, yeah, it was haunting. And on top of that, I just love his, like, answer. He goes, he gave me a look.
Yeah.
It's like, he gave you a look. What kind of look? You know, I would have been like, he gave me a nasty glare. Like, he wanted to, and he said, like, he wanted to kill me. And that was sort of like, that set the whole thing of like, okay, this guy is so mad. He's gonna,
he just puts a blanket of blame. And right. I think that's why they make the two of them really super duper innocent.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole idea that they're just guilty by association. And when you get pissed, you just get pissed at just whatever you see. And that's why those two were targets.
Exactly. Which I kind of, okay. So here's a question though. So I guess, and so Pumpkinhead comes to be because he's angry at them, I guess all of them, right?
Yeah.
Would you say it was all of them that basically
is he blames the group.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know who actually did it. Who actually, you know.
Right.
So he blames the group of kids. So they're all targets, which, I mean, is sort of not fair. But, you know, I guess what he blames them is that they all left and didn't help or whatever, which would have helped if they stayed there anyway. They didn't have a phone at the convenience store, you know, so.
Well, but they had the phone at the cabin.
Right.
But the kid cut the line. The douchebag kid cut right. the line.
Yeah, whatever his name was. I mean, his girlfriend.
Yeah. Greaser boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Greaser boy, we can call him that.
He did look like he was out of a John Travolta in Grease or something. Going for
he
that.
He definitely walked like a T-bird, yes.
Which was sort of like, you're right, now going back to it, does looks like a weird group of friends, you know, like it looks like a assortment of people. They were just like, ah, let's just cast this guy and this girl. Yeah. This person, all right, we'll make it work. You know, all they got to do is say they're friends.
Hey, that's part of the charm of an 80s horror movie. I have a theory with this, by the way. Because you notice that this is like mostly slashers. Everybody looks very different. And we have the tropes, obviously. You're like, oh, the dumb one. And then there was the blonde one. And then there's the really tall guy. And then there's the black kid.
And then there's the Joker.
I think they do that because they're like, no one's going to remember these people's names. So they're going to have something to remember them by. So it has to be the greaser, the 40-year-old, you know?
You're right. Probably the right.
Girlfriend.
Well, I mean, to be honest, all the girls were sort of not very standout-ish, you know? Mm-mm. Like, which is not that common.
The blonde one who ends up through most of it.
That's true.
Blonde. See, she's got blonde curly hair. I can remember.
Well, it's that on. Also, she's the one who's like freaking out like half the time, like or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of. It almost looks like she's almost like at a catatonic state at some point, like in shock, you know, of what's going on. And then, she's the one who sort of causes a little bit of problems because she walks out, you know, and the boyfriend has to go and, you know. Help her or whatever. I liked all the cast in it. Like I felt like all these mm-hmm. kids, they did a great job. Like even Greaser Boy did a fantastic job because like
I
100% believed that he was a dick, you know, like mm-hmm. or whatever, like that.
Oh, yeah.
that he would be in jail, that he would, you know, sometimes they do cast, and especially sometimes in 80s horror films, they cast, you know, people that just don't seem right for the part, you know, or whatever. And so this, I thought they did a fantastic job. And it does feel like a slasher movie, even though it's a creature feature, demon movie, I guess.
I mean, it kind of has the setup of a slasher movie. You know, like the kids going somewhere where they shouldn't, seeing or doing something they shouldn't do, And then, you know, getting involved with a force that they don't want to be involved with, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Except for it's Pumpkinhead instead of, you know, Jason.
Which, once again, I think a lot of people were confused when there is no actual pumpkin on the head, you know. But yeah, it's that he's like buried in a pumpkin patch. Which,
yeah.
Right. You know. Which doesn't really, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell these yokels like how to name their like legends. But I mean, just because he's in a pumpkin patch, why pumpkin head? Why not like pumpkin? I don't know. Just something like he does his, the pumpkin and the head never are one and the same. I don't get it.
Did that have something to do with a poem? Was this based on a poem, did it say, or yes, inspired by it? So maybe that was in the poem.
Oh, I'm probably sure it was, but still, then the legend in the poem has a stupid name. Right.
Well, yeah, you'd expect Jacko in this movie or whatever.
Something. Yeah.
Something. But you know, honestly, the creature looked very much like, I saw it and the first thought in my head was aliens, you know, like, and yeah. I looked it up and yes, Stan Winston worked on Aliens. So like, I can see sort of a little bit of alien in it, but then there's also, you know, it's kind of a mixture of a lot of different things, which is kind of cool, you know, like,
I think the creature design's fantastic.
Oh man, it was creepy.
Stan Winston, so.
I don't think he actually, well, I mean, I'm sure he had a big say in it and everything, but it didn't look like he actually did the work on it. He probably just kind of had like a sketch of what he wanted. And
I think he worked on the design, but he couldn't supervise the day to day because he was directing.
He was directing, which I mean, like, if you're going to direct a, you know, a creature feature and be like a big time special effects person, you know, this is the perfect thing.
Like,
kind of like Wishmaster, you know, was, you know, done. Which I absolutely adore that movie as well. So
an all time favorite of mine. So
is that 80s? Can we do that at some point? Or is that 90s?
No, that was 90s.
Fuck, that wasn't.
It was like late 90s.
It was late 90s. It was like 97 or something.
I think it was 97, 98.
Oh, bummer. Oh, well.
You can do 90s horror movies. Add another.
I was going to say, start another podcast, John. You've got 10 of them already.
Why not?
I'm trying to like stop, you know?
You can't stop now.
I thought about that today, actually. And I'm like, damn it, just stop. Get out of my head. Just like, don't. And you guys are encouraging me. That's not a good idea. Because Rebecca, you've been trying to get out of doing these, I think, for a little bit, because you're being
trying to get out of them. I've been the only I am your one remaining co-host who has stuck around the entire time.
That is true. I'm not saying that that's, you know, I'm just saying you're busy, so you like, it's gonna take a while, you know, sometimes. So I mean, I get it. And Maddie, you're doing a lot of, you're on a lot of these things too. So
I try. You know,
I get it. Like, having a bunch of podcasts, but you know, I mean, if we do it, I probably do it as a YouTube thing, not a, you know, one, you know, YouTube show. Instead of just a regular podcast. But who knows? 90s horror. I mean, there are a lot of them. You know.
Yeah.
But anywho, to go back to Pumpkinhead, because we do that a lot, don't we, Rebecca? We kind of
move, you know, around. What? The tangents are what people love.
I would hope so.
They like to hear about the mushroom, the dog doing his own stunts. That's what people want.
Well, I would imagine, because, like, I mean, that's part of the podcast that I love, is when people tell me something that I might not have been aware of, you know, or whatever. Yeah. You know, well, you didn't know about that, Maddie. So there you go. Learn a new thing every day.
Exactly.
So, all right. So the kids, the poor kids, and one of them, the greaser guy, had a, had probation, was on probation for
something. Yeah, because he did something else.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. I think they're very vague on it. Either like they didn't want, he didn't want people knowing what he did, you know, to make them feel whatever, or the writers were just lazy or just like, yeah, you did something, you know.
It probably involved drinking and riding his motorcycle or whatever.
True. Oh, he did say something about that, didn't he?
Actually, I think so.
He did say,
but I don't know exactly if they said what it was, but
yeah. So anyway, he got into some trouble. Then he so he's now can't do it. So he cuts the cord, he locks the two friends up, which I thought was like, I mean,
yes, which is so crazy. Like, oh, we're just gonna put you in the closet. Like, which also gives it a bit of a fairy tale kind of thing too. Like, right, you know, because that's what I always think of, like the witch puts the kids in the closet kind of thing.
Right. You know, or it gives you that R. Kelly feel, trapped in a closet. I don't know. Ooh, ooh. Ooh.
Hey, I went somewhere dark, but not that dark.
That's true. So they're stuck in there, which I always thought that was kind of stupid in a way, because like literally what are they going to do except drive to maybe a hospital or something, or could drive to the police, you know? Like, I mean, I don't even think they know where they are, you know? Like, they don't have GPS. That's not invented yet, you know? Yeah. What are they really going to do? So like the phone's cut, so they're kind of screwed on that, you know? So like, let them do, I mean,
what does that suggest that, like, I mean, they've seen what happened. Like, is he going to just keep them in the closet till they finally bend to his will and agree not to say anything? Because if not, I mean, all it means is like, he's going to kill us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We know what he did. He's going to kill us.
True.
Some good friend.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
So I love his like little redemption scene that comes so freaking out of nowhere. It's just like, you know what? I was being a dick. I'm gonna go let these guys out, you know, like it was like out of nowhere. We didn't even get any kind of like lead up to that or anything. Like, he doesn't have any kind of like, it's like this really random profound moment, and he's like, I'm just gonna go let these guys out now, all right, you know. Yeah. And he walks out. I'm like,
let's move this plot along.
I was like, did I miss something? Like, did Tubi cut a scene out? You know, and I don't think they did, because it's literally, and this movie was so good. I'm not gonna lie, this is gonna sound crazy, but I put my phone down and I watched it, you know. And
oh my god,
for me to do that these days, I mean, that's hard, you know.
Yeah, especially for a movie you've seen before. Like, I that's half the reason why I watch the same movies over and over. It's so that I can kind of like passively, I'll sit there, I'll be talking to the TV like, you don't want to do that, you know, playing on my phone.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. But you know, this is such a good movie. And I feel like, I mean, very well done. I mean, there might be a little flaws or whatever, you know, but that's every
movie has flaws. That,
I would hope so. You know, like, I would hope every, because I mean, I bet Citizen Kane even had a few flaws, you know, or whatever. But I guess, you know, that's it, you know, like for that, like this is just a really good freaking movie.
I love the end. I love at the end, like when Pumpkinhead finally, you know, he comes out, everything, the way they shot it reminded me of like, I mean, kind of like the way they did Creepshow or something. There was a lot of like skewed camera angles and a lot of like weird lights coming out of the doors and stuff. I love the way it was like, you know, the camera would be pointing up and over and, you know, down and around. And like, they just did some really funky things that just made it seem almost a little like horror comic.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. The lights and everything, that was just a lot of, it was kind of cool, you know, like it was just a neat little trick to make this. And also I think it goes back to your fantasy, like your sort of fairy tale kind of aspect of things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and that once again, that is a big thing of this thing. It's like, it is sort of a big fairy tale, because, you know, it's a creature, except it's a horror fairy tale, because, you know, creatures.
But a lot of fairy tales are very horror.
Exactly.
The original ones are.
Like Grimm, you know.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because, like, you know, people might not know that about Grimm, but I mean, Grimm themselves are pretty grim, you know.
Yeah.
The fairy tales. But
Disney's just sanitized everything for us.
Well, I mean, they sort of have to for kids. You can't really say, hey, but I mean,
kids are wusses. They used to tell those kids those stories to keep them in line.
It's true. Well,
I'm just gonna say, I mean, the stuff I watched as a kid, I turned out okay, I think.
Yeah. The way I always think about it, like,
well, I don't know if I turned out all right or not, but
I'm not raising anything out of a pumpkin patch, so, and neither are you guys, so I think we're good.
How do you know?
I don't. I don't know what Maddie does on a Saturday night. I don't really know.
If you know where that pumpkin patch is, let me know, but you have to find the old woman, too. You can't just get the...
That's true. Yes, we have to have Haggis.
We have to have her.
Talk actress. About that old woman, because I love that old woman in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck. Her right, makeup, when, everything. Yeah.
Right. Who just sits in her little shack with a candle and just waits for somebody to come.
I love it so much.
Yeah, she's never taking a bath or, you know, getting groceries or anything like that. I love that kind of character. Like,
she too.
She knew his name too, so I mean, like, she knew the guy's name. She said his name, like, you know, was Ed something or whatever.
Yeah, Ed.
Yeah, because she kept saying, like, you know, was it, you know, it's too late for you, Ed, whatever, you know, and so, like, she actually knew his name, which means that she's, like, way more powerful, I guess, than, you know, because. Like, and she was waiting for him. She knew he was coming, I guess.
Yeah.
She was just patiently, like, rocking in her chair, just waiting for him to come. It was like you do. I mean, once again, fairy tale. She's the Grimm. She's the old witch, you know, that.
Yeah.
She, I can see her.
Bestows the power.
What?
She bestows the power. She has the power. And
witch
in the world.
The witch in the woods, and so that was the greatest thing, was that guy, that kid going, I'll take you halfway, but after that you're driving the rest, because I'm
you
know. And it was already dark. I don't know how far up he went, but that kid had to run back home in the dark like that. Like, I felt a little like, wow, good for you, dude, because I wouldn't have done it. He only got like 20 bucks for it, you know. I was like,
hey, that's a lot. You saw where they live.
It's true. And it was 80s. 20 bucks was probably more like 40 or 50.
20 bucks is quite a bit for a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have asked for a little more. I mean,
I'd take you to a witch in the woods for 20 bucks right now.
Yeah.
All right. Take us. Let's go. Yeah. I got 20 bucks. I want to do it for less than 50.
You want to do it for less than 50?
Standards. Yeah, I have rates, people.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and hey, inflation's a bitch, so it goes up. Sure. You know, it'd be 50 bucks now anyway. I'm like, all right, here you go, 50 bucks. Show me where that damn witch is. Mm-hmm. And to go back to the witch lady, she was awesome. Like you said, her makeup was great. Her voice was scary as fuck. Just the whole thing, I was just like, okay, so this movie went from like a sad, tragic tale to now witch story to later a demon story to creature feature other stuff, you know, like it went all over the place. And I mean, for a guy with ADHD, it warmed my heart. Like, I was like, perfect, you know. It had everything I needed in it. You know, I was bouncing all over the place. However, the funny thing is, I noticed that nobody really died for like until the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it's like a slow burn type of movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would almost call it like a slow burn. Oh, well, you know, it kind of builds up to that.
Yeah.
When the creature shows up, it's totally worth the wait. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, it's that, you know, I mean, you know that shit's coming, like, yeah, early on. So it's okay that it takes a while to get the body count starting to go, because mm-hmm. you know that these kids are booked.
It's got just that, a matter like, of sense time. Of dread.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I was like, because I was watching it going, man, normally in these type of movies, it's like a death every like 10 minutes or something, or 20 minutes at least, you know, or something. But this took a while, and you got to know the character. You got to care about people. You even got to care about some of the kids, you know, and what they're going through or whatever. Because, I mean, I felt bad for them. They didn't deserve this, you know. And I understand grief can make people angry, you know, to enough to want to, you know, want to do something. But what I really enjoyed was the fact that, yeah, it was this, you know, grief that was happening, but you know, it was like, it was sad, you know, like he had to deal with this stuff. But then all of a sudden, like once he got toward that, like, anger, you know, and I'm going to do this, like, I didn't feel pity for that guy at all at that point. You know, I'm like, dude, you know, like most people just call the cops, you know, most people don't go and sick a.
Most people don't have access to a witch in the woods and a dude buried in a pumpkin patch, though. I think a lot more people would call the witch in the woods than the cops if they had access to that.
I don't know. I mean, because it's like hiring a hitman, you know, to take people out.
Yeah, but right? It's free. Well, you know, monetary.
I was going to say the same thing, but I was like, well, his soul or whatever.
I mean, there's a cost, but we're not exchanging. There's $20. $20. That's a bargain.
No, $20. And didn't he have like, hitman? Didn't he give like coins or something to the lady, like silver dollars?
Yeah, you're supposed to give silver dollars.
Yeah, so she gave her silver dollars. He gave her the other kid $20. So that, and then he also gave his soul to, you know, yeah, and had to end his life. He had to kill himself in order to stop.
But he didn't really, you know, he didn't have anything else to live for. You know, really at that point in time, we don't know what happened to mom or whatever, you know.
That's true.
It was a very lonely life. It was just him and his kid, with his kid gone, who really didn't have a whole lot going for him.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, so there's his tragedy arc of like, it couldn't have ended any other way than him just, you know, mm-hmm. going out in a blaze of glory.
But, you know, then at that, because he was trying everything else. He was burning him or whatever. He was doing everything he could to get rid of this thing. But of course, the only way to do it was self-sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like thinking, damn, if he had just killed himself earlier, you know, like,
would have saved other people's lives.
He would have saved other people's lives. But then we wouldn't have had a movie. You know,
exactly.
We've had like 40 minutes of a movie or 50 minutes of a movie, whatever. But truth, you know, I mean, it's just sort of like, if you look at that thing going, well, damn it, if he had only done this, you know.
Well, you can say that for almost any movie. That's if they had only done this or not done this.
Right.
I mean, if only they had went somewhere else to ride their stupid dirt bikes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true.
Or 90% of the time, if they would only listen to the person at the gas station, you know, exactly. We would not have movies. I mean, so you just have to kind of get past that.
Do you think people have learned that in life? It's just like, listen to the person at the gas station? Is that
no, never.
No,
I'm talking
that
about
just
a real
motivates
life.
People more to go wherever they're not supposed to go.
True.
That's
everybody,
true.
Right. And it doesn't help that the guy at the gas station is always a little like, woo, you know.
Always an alcoholic.
Right. It can't be like you or me going, hey guys, I heard there's something that happened there. It's really like not a good idea. Oh, okay, I'll listen to you. It's always the crazy one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I think we're almost at the end of this podcast. This went really quickly. I just realized it. Like we're almost at the hour mark, you know. So wow.
Yep.
Holy cow. But So, Maddie, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, just working a lot and working on some upcoming stuff, working on Bathtub Shark Attack and Shitty Shark Show and Spirit Animals gonna play in Canada end of the month and online for Terrible 2-Day Fest. But
yeah. Terrible 2-Day Fest?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a little film festival in Canada. They're showing that in Psycho Ape and some other stuff.
Oh, nice.
That's so cool. Yeah.
You know, that's super exciting.
That's so. It's a terrible title for a car convention. Like, I get it, but it's
they do like little film festivals. They used to do them every month before the pandemic, but you know. So
now is it like online? Can people check
it out? Yeah, they're doing it online as well.
That is really cool. See, that's a good thing, you know, that more people can go to these conventions and their house, you know, they don't have to.
Yeah, you know, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
At least it's something.
And Rebecca, you just came back from a horror convention too, right? You said.
Yeah, I actually went to the first physical horror convention that I've been to in like a year and a half. So, I mean, it was a little slow, not a lot of money exchanging hands, not as many people, you know, but still some fabulous after parties and had fun. And, you know, it was very hopeful to see that, you know, things can start coming back around.
Was that Days of the Dead?
No, what was that called? Metrotham Con in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Oh, is nice. The one that I went to.
I did go to Tampa Bay Screams, which I wish you were at.
Yeah, I know. I
in March, to but yeah.
I'm gonna be going to Scarezac here. I think in July, late July. So that'll be fun. I haven't really heard much about it other than they're being very specific about you have to wear masks the whole time and everything, and then you know, which people are complaining about, and I'm like. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, just get over it. You know, wear a freaking mask.
The day I have to give up wearing my Jason mask into Kroger, I'm going to probably cry. I'll be honest.
Because then the day that they're like, you're not allowed to wear a mask in here, you're going to be like, what?
Why not?
It ended. Oh, you know, that's so sad. Now, actually, technically nowadays, you could probably, even for a while after they allow people to not wear masks, you could probably still wear your mask for a while longer.
I think we'll be wearing masks at least for a while. I mean, the other countries have done it for a very long time.
Right. And it's so funny because to go back to another 80s film that's not a horror 80s film is Princess Bride. And one of the lines in that movie talked about how, you know, like, why do you wear a mask, right? He goes, oh, because they're terribly comfortable. You know, in 100 years, people are going to be wearing them all over, you know, right? Or something like that. And he kind of predicted we were eventually going to be wearing masks, you know? I don't know if that was, you know, sometimes I think they put lines in films to warn us for the future. You know, but anyway, thank you guys. Was there anything that, cause I know I kind of ended this abruptly and I just realized it. Was there anything you guys thought, in closing about this movie that you guys didn't get to share or anything about Pumpkinhead?
I just think it's a must watch for anyone. I think it's a bit, I would almost say underrated. I just don't think people talk about it enough.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you mentioned kind of the lighting before. I think the lighting and just the mood and overall tone of the film is incredible. And that's definitely a must watch. And I think it's better than a lot of people might realize, aside from some of the crappy sequels Sci-Fi Channel put out.
True.
If you want to mention those, one of them had what are those two feuding families? Not the Bloods and the Crips, but the
Hatfield and the McCoys.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah, one of them had that, and I don't know. So, you know, but the first is very much worth watching, obviously, as we've been saying this whole time. So,
very much.
Well, what do you think, Rebecca?
Oh, I love it. Like I said, it is one of those movies that I've always said I wish that they would have given it a different name, marketed it differently. I think it could have done better in the 80s and early 90s. But, you know, I mean, it has become a cult classic. And, you know, so it is, you know, it's definitely Pumpkinhead's in my heart.
I love how this is like a Southern fable for sure. You know?
Yeah.
It's not...
When you watch it, you do start to understand. I mean, these are like, they're kind of mountain people or whatever. What are they going to be called? They are going to be called the Pumpkinhead. They're not going to come up with some kind of like floofy name for it. It's going to be something kind of stupid.
Yeah, right. Makes sense.
Yeah, Pumpkinhead, because he's born in a pumpkin patch.
Yeah,
I guess.
Pumpkin patch.
That would be funny if it was named Pumpkin Patch. You know, like,
oh my god, then this movie would have done even worse.
Yeah, probably.
It's almost like full moon at that point.
Yeah,
that would be the full moon version, right? Pumpkin patch. He's a you know what? Don't give Charles Band any idea. Oh my god, don't give full moon any ideas. They'll make that into like a puppet master character. Pumpkin
I better
patch.
Put like a big trademark on that. They probably heard that. They're like,
yeah,
they're listening. They're watching.
There's a dollar to be made. Charles Band's antennas go.
Man, we've been doing a lot. We've been doing a lot of full moon movies for my other podcast, but we haven't done one for 80s horror film yet. So
we might have to change that.
We might have to do one at least by the end of the season, you know? Because they've done so many, even just to go back to the Empire days, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, definitely. So, but I don't want to do like Reanimator, you know, or something that people probably covered a million times, you know. But we'll find something, I'm sure, you know. And you know what the beauty is? Beauty is all like almost every full moon title is on Tubi.
Yes.
I think they have
their whole channel.
They do, which awesome. I pay for that, by the way.
So do I.
Which I don't need to because they're mostly on Tubi.
Everything is there.
So yeah, everything. I think almost everything is on.
And I'm actually surprised at some of the things that are in the Full Moon catalog, just because of that channel, like Intruders on there and stuff. I'm like, I had no idea it had any association with Full Moon.
Actually, it does. It does.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Yeah. But yeah, I had no idea until I caught it.
I have the old DVD Full Moon put out of Intruder. That's the first time I saw it. I haven't even upgraded to the Blu-ray.
That's a good one.
I got it. Yeah, that's definitely a good one. Scott Spiegel, sadly, he hasn't really, like, he did. I've seen another movie he did, which was like sort of a, I got it on Netflix, but then it was weird. It was like almost like a TV movie, you know, that he did, like an action spy TV movie. And then he obviously also did, I think, like Hostel 3 or something, you know. So sadly, he hasn't really, like, I'm sad, you know, like the dude did. Intruder was a really good movie to me. You like, and it sort of was the thing that got Tarantino to meet Lawrence Bender, you know. And like, you know, a lot of what Tarantino, you know, kind of owes his career to Scott Spiegel a little bit. So I'm like surprised that Scott hasn't been as famous as like Sam Raimi or all of them, but
yeah,
you know, what can you do? Hopefully maybe he'll make another good, really good movie and kind of bring himself back up. But if not, you know, at least he made Intruder.
At least we have Intruder.
And you know, that's the one thing. Some filmmakers never make another good movie, but at least they made that one movie that stands out. That's
the truth.
And everything. So if you can make just one good movie, you're killing it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. Maddie, you are definitely welcome back on the show.
So.
We'll have to do another crossover at some point, you know. Maybe when I do my 90s horror films, we can
whenever you do Wishmaster, I better be invited.
Oh, for sure. That'll be the one that you're coming back for, you know. For sure. So thank you guys. If you guys stick around, I'm going to say goodbye to you guys privately. But everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Let us know what you think and check out our, like, basically our little group, our Facebook group that we have, 80s Horror Film, where this all actually started from. This wasn't originally a podcast. It was originally just a Facebook group. And I was like, let's make a podcast out of it. You know, the group's already there. So there you go. So check that out and let us know what you guys think. And keep checking back for more stuff every month. All right. Bye.
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 Horror Films.